RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection said creative products need to be strengthened. British Council of the UK International Organization welcomed the visit of British Prime Minister. US set zero tariff on Indonesian fishery products. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection Yohana Susana Yambise said that creative products derived from the culture of the nation become a flagship of Indonesia in the era of information and technology. This was stated by the Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Susana Yambise, in the opening of Culture-Based Community Development held in Jakarta. As you say, at Jakarta Convention Center in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Minister Yohana, the potential of this culture should be developed amidst the limited competitiveness of technology products in Indonesia. In the era of technology and information that are already very advanced today, we need to realize that the competitiveness of our nation's technology products is still limited. Our country's excellence is actually in the product and the creation of cultural works such as decors, crafts, textile, herbs, puppets, which have evolved throughout history. So they need to be strengthened. Minister Yohana added that some areas in Indonesia, such as Bali, Yogyakarta, and Solo, had been known among people around the world for their unique cultural products. But there are still many areas that have a variety of cultural potential that have not been widely known. Minister Yohana hoped that the formation of cultural activities like this can be done annually. Culture-Based Community Empowerment 2015 is being held from July 30th to August 2nd, 2015 at Jakarta Convention Center in Jakarta. Director of Education of Society of British Council, Teresa Birch, to Air Rebel Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon said that she warmly welcomed the visit of British Prime Minister David Cameron to Jakarta to have met Indonesian President Joko Widodo recently. She said the meeting of the two heads of state is a symbol of strong bilateral cooperation of the two countries. Moreover, Teresa Birch also explained that one of the cooperations done by the United Kingdom and Indonesia is conducted by Newton Fund as British Official Assistant Institute by supporting the development of scientific research, culture, and innovation for Indonesian young generations. Indonesian fishing industry is expecting to boost its exports to the United States as President Barack Obama along with the U.S. Senate approved tariff reduction on products under Generalized System of Preference, GSP, on July 29, 2015. The GSP is a scheme crafted by developed countries offering low or zero tariff on products imported from developing countries. South Hutagalung, the Director General for Fishery Product Processing and Marketing at the Maritime and Fishery Ministry said the GSP SIMT was halted in 2013 as the U.S. Senate rejected the plan. However, GSP was renewed and comes into effect starting from July 29, 2015 to December 31, 2017. South told Tempo on Tuesday that it is a good opportunity for Indonesian fishery exporters. South added that the United States applies 0% tariff for Indonesian fishery products such as frozen crabs, sardines, fraud legs, canned fishes, processed lobster, and swimmer crabs. Data from the Maritime and Fisheries Ministry showed that the figure reached $1.07 billion US dollar in 2012, increasing to $1.15 million US dollar in the following year. In 2013, the figure climbed to $1.33 billion US dollar and increased to $1.84 billion US dollar last year. Hitachi Investment Holding, a Turkish company, had expressed interest to invest in geothermal power plants in Indonesia. This was announced by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources on Tuesday. Turkish companies was reported to have lobbied Rida Mulyana, Director General of Renewable Energy and Energy Compensation at Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources on Tuesday. Hitachi has now gained the green light to carry out pre-exploration survey around West Sumatra and Bengkulu. The survey will be conducted at 8 locations for 1 year period. Later, the survey will produce estimate of geothermal reserves in those locations. Data from the survey results will belong to the government, and the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources will use it for the geothermal working areas for open action. When the action was officially opened, the ministry promised Hitachi to get a right or special privilege to win the tender compared to other applicants. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister is planning to boost new and renewable energy by providing a number of incentives, including increasing purchasing prices of electricity generated by renewable energy power plants. Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said said on Tuesday, increasing the portion of energy alternative is no longer a trend, provided that his side has personal interest in it. Rida Mulyana, Director General for New and Renewable Energy, said that the move was aimed at boosting renewable energy portion by 25% as part of a 35,000 megawatts electricity project. The minister has taken initial effort by revising the purchasing prices of electricity generated by micro hydro power plants to 12 US cents per kilo hour, as stated at the Minister Regulation Number 90/2015. Earlier, the price was set at around 656 rupiah. The minister has also set the purchasing price for electricity generated by geothermal power plant at the 13 until 14 cents US dollar per kilowatt. The last item, 24 yachts from 11 countries have arrived at Kupang Beach in Kupang City, East Nusa Tenggara, recently. The visitors were from Australia, the USA, and Europe were greeted by Deputy Kupang Mayor Hermanus Mand at the beach, located in Lahilai sub-district in Besi Kupang district. He said there are another 20 yachts set to berth at Kupang Beach. They are coming from 11 countries, most of them from Europe. The number of yachts is higher than last year's sale Pelabuhan Merak event, which was participated in by 38 yachts. Hermanus added that the visitors numbering around 200 people were scheduled to leave Kupang on August 8. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Major Operation to Attack ISIS is Being Prepared. Major attack to the group of Islamic State of Iraq and Syria or ISIS is being prepared. U.S. drone aircraft had arrived in Turkey's Air Force base on Wednesday. They are ready to immediately launch a comprehensive battle against ISIS. Turkey has officially alleged its airbase used by U.S. and coalition operation against the ISIS. The policy change was considered significant because earlier Turkey was reluctant to be in the front line against the group of ISIS. For the United States, an agreement to collectively share the use of Turkey's airbase brings about progress in the battle against militants of ISIS. In addition to the cooperation between Turkey and the U.S., Syria is also involved in the major attack. Turkey and the U.S. agreed to provide protection through the air for the Syrian militia who received training from the USA. Besides Turkey and the United States and Syria,
Britain also seems to extend its air campaign against ISIS groups in Iraq until 2017. Initially, Britain was reported to participate in the US-led airstrikes until March 2016, but it is extended until 2017. In the joint air attack, the UK will use its Tornado fighter jets. Initially, the British said that Tornado would only operate until March 2016. But during a visit to Iraq, British Defense Secretary Michael Vallant showed his intention to extend the aircraft's involvement based in Cyprus because they have the ability. Tornado Squadron has proven its ability in the air campaign because its precision weapon has surveillance capabilities not to be seen. In recent days, US-led coalition has launched a number of airstrikes to ISIS stronghold in Iraq and Syria. The move was in effort to weaken the defense of militants who have occupied a large number of regions in the two countries. It should be admitted that the airstrikes were carried out effectively by the coalition forces against ISIS defense forces in suppressing the movement and bombarding the defense of ISIS. However, an independent monitoring group, Air Wars, never issued a report stating that US-led airstrike against the group Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, have killed more than 459 civilians. Therefore, the plan of attack being prepared should be organized well, so that civilian casualties could be avoided. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start on August 7, 1965. Singapore seceded from Malaysian Federation. Originally, Singapore was a fishing village inhabited by ethnic Malays. Based on the legend of the Malays, the name Sang Nila Utama was given by prince from Sumatra in early 14th century. The country was once become British and Japanese colony. From the 19th until the 20th century, Singapore was a British colony and became one of the members of the Straits States together with Penang and Malacca. Singapore was under the Japanese colonial rule in 1942 until 1945, when Britain lost in World War II. Singapore returned to the United Kingdom at the end of World War. In 1959, Singapore was granted to the British Kingdom to govern itself. On September 1963, Singapore formed a unity with Malaysia's alliance. However, the alliance split and Singapore was expelled on August 7, 1965. It was caused by a conflict between the United Malays National Organization Party of Malaysia and Singapore People's Action Party leader Lee Kuan Yew. On August 9, 1965, Singapore gained its independence and formed as the Republic of State. On August 7, 1994, the establishment of Independent Journalist Alliance, or AJI. Independent Journalist Alliance, or AJI, was formed as a fighting of Indonesian press community against arbitrariness of New Order regime. It was started with banning of some magazines, namely Detik, Editor, and Tempo on June 21, 1994. the three magazines were banned due to critical news to the authority. The repressive action threatened the solidarity action and resistance from many parties evenly in a number of cities. Finally, at least 100 people consisted of journalists and Indonesian young columnists gathered at Sirna Galih, Bogor, West Java on August 7, 1994. On that day, they signed the Sirna Galih Declaration. The declaration demanded the fulfilling of public rights toward information, to fight against restraint of the press, to avoid a single whistle for journalists, and to announce the establishment of Independent Journalist Alliance, AJI, as well. We conclude today's edition of Today in History. On August 7, 1998, large bomb destroys the U.S. Embassy in Kenya and Tanzania. The United States embassies in Nairobi, Kenya and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania became the target of car bombs. The bomb blast caused 224 people died, including 12 American citizens and more than 4,500 seriously injured. The U.S. government then accused terrorist network Al-Qaeda as mastermind of the deadly attack. Shortly after the incident, President Bill Clinton instructed counterattack to the places that were suspected as the center of Al-Qaeda exercises by bombing the terrorist training camps in Afghanistan and chemical laboratory in Sudan. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. In today's edition, we'll take you to discuss about ASEAN Police to Strengthen Cooperation. Listener, cooperation of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN countries, in law enforcement toward transnational violence has been challenged by legal system and different state interests. So they need mutual comprehension related to security of each country. Head of Indonesian Police General Badruddin Haiti, when opening the 35th Conference of ASEANOPOL at Borobudur Hotel Jakarta on Tuesday, August 1st, said, there are some kinds of transnational crime that have been agreed to be a mutual concern among ASEAN countries, such as illegal trafficking and narcotic abuses, terrorism, human trafficking, money laundering, cybercrime, and people smuggling. However, the implementation of legal enforcement is actually not easy, since it has been collided with the legal system and national interests of each country. It should be found out the solution, remembering crime is exactly crime. It should be fought by the police of entire world. By ASEANOPOL Forum, according to Badruddin, the difference of legal system and national interests of the state will be communicated. Badruddin assured that all countries grouped in ASEANOPOL has a unity of commitment to support the regional interests. Badruddin further stated the need of preparation of a regional legal instrument that binds capable to give and guarantee stability of the regional security, including in overcoming various kinds of transnational crimes. From 10 ASEAN countries, Singapore has the most attention because the law enforcers in Indonesia facing obstacles when they hunted corruptors who flee abroad. Meanwhile, Head of Criminal Resort Agency Police Commissioner General Budi Waseso said, in ASEANOPOL meeting, the police will deliver barriers of law enforcement related to transnational crime, including barriers in covering the perpetrators of corruption who protected by the legal system that prevailed in Singapore. Budi said, the alleged corruption case of condensate selling, Hongo Wenratmo, HW, as one of the perpetrators of corruption who are protected by legal system in Singapore. Moreover, HW involved in investing in the country. Due to the laws and regulation as well, the extradition treaty between Indonesia and Singapore is not running smoothly. Dear listener, that was Focus.
Here are several newspaper headlines published in Jakarta today, August 7, 2015. I'm Dalat Pane. We start with Kompas. The newspaper, in its headlines, writes, "Government is still slow motion." The government is considered is still in low motion, so it must take a decision quickly in the second half of 2015 so that Indonesia's economic growth improved. On the other hand, business must remain innovative, creative, and optimistic amid economic slowdown. President Director of PT Bank Mandiri Budi Gunadi Sadikin said the original government spending, particularly in infrastructure, is expected to be the backbone of economic growth this year. However, until the first half of 2015, household consumption remains a crutch. From the second quarter of 2015, economic growth, 2.66% of which is contributed by the household consumption. Turning to Media Indonesia, the newspaper in its headlines writes, "Muhammadiyah strengthen Pancasila." Muhammadiyah is committed to reaffirming Pancasila as the foundation and final idol for Indonesia with all its diversity. The commitment was confirmed in the 47th Congress in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Thursday, which selected new chairman. Once designated as chairman of Muhammadiyah for 2015-2020 period, Haidar Nasir asserted, "Pancasila as the state ideology cannot be contested again." He said, "Pancasila is the state agreement, an agreement among all elements of society who co-founded and built this nation, including Muhammadiyah." We end today's headline with Republika. The newspaper writes, "Related party is requested to focus to overcome El Nino." Longer droughts caused by El Nino causes a range of negative effects. The government is asked to take action to overcome a series of consequences caused by the prolonged drought. Head of the National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, LAPAN, Thomas Jamaluddin, said, "The effects of drought occurred in various sectors, including agriculture and the environment that leads to the land and forest fires. Water shortage in many areas also would have sprung up, along with shifting the start of the rainy season." According to him, LAPAN could only provide data and information related to the current drought condition, as well as the El Nino phenomenon and the possible impacts. Well, listener, that was headlines of newspaper published today in Jakarta over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and see you next time.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hear news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia Minister of Women Empowerment and Child Protection Yohana Susana Yambisa said, "The creative products derived from culture of the nation become a flagship of Indonesia in the era of information and technology." Director of Education and Society of British Council Teresa Birch to Arable Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon said that she warmly welcomed the visit of British Prime Minister David Cameron to Jakarta to have met Indonesian President Joko Widodo recently. Indonesians' fishing industry expecting to boost exports to the United States as President Barack Obama, along with the U.S. Senate, approved tariff reductions on products under the Generalized System of Preference, GSP, on July 29, 2015. Hittite Investment Holding, a Turkish company, had expressed interest to invest in geothermal power plants in Indonesia. This was announced by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources on Tuesday, July 13, 2015. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry is planning to boost new and renewable energy by providing a number of incentives, including increasing purchasing prices of electricity generated by renewable energy power plants. 24 yachts from 11 countries have arrived at Kupang Beach in Kupang City, East Nusa Tenggara, recently. The visitors were from Australia, the USA, and Europe were greeted by Deputy Kupang Mayor Hermanus Mand at the beach located in Lahilai sub-district in Besik Kupang district. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to Maluku for a close look at the Bung Hatta's Exile House in Banda Islands. So stay tuned. Banda Neira or Banda Neira is one of the islands in the Banda Islands, and it is the center of the administration of Banda Subdistrict, Central Maluku, Maluku Province. Banda Islands are popular for their high-value spices. In the past, the wool traders and European nations such as Portuguese, British, and Dutch eyed the spices from these areas. Since the production and quality of its spices was nice, Banda Neira was once the center of nutmeg wood trade until the mid of 19th century. In the mid of 20th century, precisely during the struggle for the independence of Indonesia, Banda also kept a history of the nation. Several Indonesian national leaders like Cipto Mangunkusumo, Iwa Kusuma Sumantri, Sultan Shahrir, and Muhammad Hatta were once exiled to Banda Neira by the Dutch colonial government. They occupied the exiles' houses, which are still well maintained today. Now, the exiles' houses are open for tourists. One of the exile houses that frequently visited by tourists is the exile house of Bung Hatta, the first vice president of Indonesia. Hatta's exile house is located across the correctional house in Banda. The house was divided into two parts, namely the main house on the front part and the back porch. In the main house, there are guest chairs, lounge chairs, typewriters, desks, dining tables, and cutlery table. There are also Bung Hatta's private rooms with glass cabinets containing personal belongings of the proclaimer of the Indonesian independence, like a pair of shoes, sunglasses, and a jacket. Hatta also displayed a number of photos with the Banda people. On the back porch of the Bung Hatta's exiles' house, there are large jars containing water ablution places, several pairs of decks and benches, as well as blackboard with chalk writing. Strokes are still legible. The history of the Indonesian struggle. Sumpah Pemuda, or the Youth Pledge in Batavia in the 1928, has been blurred, so be thickened again with chalk. On the back porch, Hatta and Shahrir taught the village children with an introduction to the Dutch language. They taught patriotism history through stories and songs. Bung Hatta's exiled house has now become one of the historical houses that most frequently visited by tourists or researchers of history, both from Indonesia and outside the country. In the past, after no longer served the vice president, in 1972, Hatta visited Banda Neira. He was greeted with exceptional. Many cried when Hatta returned to Jakarta. Hatta and Shahrir were exiled for 6 years, from 1936 to 1942. Prior to Banda, the Dutch colonial government had alienated them in Digul, Papua. Banda was the last place before they were returned to Jakarta and completing an enormous agenda, namely the proclamation of Indonesian independence. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bung Hatta's Exile House in Banda. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, on Miscellany. Today, we present you the Sharp Parang Ta'awu of Makonga tribe. Makonga tribe is a traditional community living in Kolaka Regency, and some of them are also found in North Kolaka Regency, Southeast Sulawesi. Kolaka Regency is also called as the Earth of Makonga. The history of Makonga tribe is so long as Parang Ta'awu, which is used by this tribe for defense. Ta'awu is a long machete whose size is according to the height of the owners. The measurement is from the head to tailbone. The upper edge is thin and sharp. The width is 5 cm. The lower width is 2 cm and it is covered with handle made of hardwood. The head of Parang Ta'awu used to use buffalo horn, but now it is rare. Usually there is hair in the edge of its handle from the first victim when Ta'awu is used for the first time. Ta'awu cannot be used improperly, like cutting wood, cutting grass, and other things. Parang Ta'awu is only used for war or defense to protect from physical attacks. Ta'awu is also considered to have spiritual power, so that it can protect the owner. It is reflected in Ta'awu user who didn't have courage at first. After using Ta'awu, they will feel that they have power and courage to beat their enemies. For Tolaki people, Ta'awu becomes a sacred object and it is passed from generation to generation, but only for men. It is because, according to ancestors, adult men are considered to be able to war to defend their rights, families, and people. Before it is used based on its function, special ceremonies or ritual should be done. The ceremony or ritual is led by the senior in Makonga tribe or the head of Makonga tribe. The ceremony or ritual leader is usually called as Ande Guru. This ritual is believed to give more power to Ta'awu user. In this ceremony or ritual, Ande Guru will read certain prayer or spell. Various kinds of offerings are prepared in this ritual, such as 7 pieces of sirih or betel leaves, 5 pinang or areca fruit, 1 lime and 1 kettle of arak, a locally made liquor which all participants drink when their power is tested by Ande Guru. People know the history and the kinds of parang. In fact, in the life of Makonga tribe, Ta'awu has an important role in society. It is only known that Ta'awu, which was used by nobles and laymen, was differentiated by the handle. This traditional weapon is so unique. The shape of Ta'awu is wide in the edge, unlike parang, which is often used for farming. This uniqueness should be preserved and registered to UNESCO. Besides preventing claim from other countries, Ta'awu can be regarded as the historical heritage of Southeast Sulawesi people, particularly Makonga tribe. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the sharp Parang Ta'awu of Makonga tribe. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today, we present you an Indonesian dangdut singer, Eri Susan. To start the program, here is a song entitled Mimpi or Dream. Happy listening. listener, Eri Susan was born in Lamongan, East Java, December 30, 1978. She is an Indonesian dangdut singer who started gaining fame through the single Mabuk Dewit in 1993. Eri's career started because she was often asked to replace her sister to practice singing. From here, Eri joined various festivals until she won some rock, pop, and dangdut festivals in East Java. She then moved to Jakarta because she got a chance for recording as the first winner of rock festival in East Java, but it was postponed because she was still so young. While waiting, she became backing vocal for some singers like Slang, Anggun C. Sasmi, and Yosi Luki. Well, listener, before we move on, let's enjoy a song entitled Jangan Buang Waktuku or Don't Waste My Time by Eri Susan. Check it out.
Sudahlah, aku yang menyerah, ku lelah berharap padamu. Bila kau tak cinta padaku, jangan buang waktuku. Hari demi hari telah ku lewati, menanti ungkapan kata cinta dari. Jadi cinta dalam hidupmu harus berapa lama menunggu, ataukah tak ada rasa cintamu kepadaku? Sudahlah, aku yang menyerah, ku lelah berharap padamu. Bila kau tak cinta padaku, jangan buang waktuku. Cinta tak bisa dipaksakan, hati tak mudah diarahkan. Bila kau
listener, following the uncertainty of a change for recording, Eri decided to return to Lamongan because of high living costs in Jakarta. However, 2 days after her coming back to East Java, Eri took part in Dangdut Festival in Jabotabek or Greater Jakarta, and she came up as the first winner and got a trophy presented by Roma Irama, the Indonesian king of Dangdut. A producer was immediately interested in making the first dangdut album for Eri Susan, entitled Mabuk Duit, in 1993, when Eri Susan was still in the 8th grade. After that, some other dangdut hits like Jangan Buang Waktuku and Muara Kasih Bunda were released. Eri Susan also performs duet with Yus Yunus, the late Abim Ngesti, the late Farid Harja, Adibal, and Beniknu. She also has trio albums with Ike Nurjana, Mila Rosa, Iis Dahlia, and Dewi Purwanti. Her latest work is The Duta, 8th Indonesian Dangdut Diva, with the hit singles Tak Bisa Menunggu and Sabda Cinta with Iyad Bustami. Well, listener, that's today's edition of Music Corner, presenting you a dangdut singer, Eri Susan. To end the program, we play you two songs by Eri Susan entitled Sabda Cinta and Muara Kasih Bunda. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Sejati takkan terganti. Ha, 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 ha.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Halo, saya Ri Susan. Seorang ibu bagi saya adalah pribadi yang luar biasa, sederhana, dan bersahaja. Keberadaan seorang ibu jugalah yang buat saya percaya bahwa malaikat itu nyata adanya. Selamat Hari Ibu untuk Bunda tercinta, juga bagi ibu-ibu yang luar biasa di seluruh Indonesia.
Bunda, engkaulah muara kasih dan sayang, apapun pasti kau lakukan demi anakku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.